Good morning. Our reading today is from John. It's from John 15 and a section from John 16. John 15 can be found on page 1083 of the Church Bible and commences at verse 26. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And now John 16, from verse 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God.
I do thank you that your word is certain, that your word comes to us through the working of the Holy Spirit. Teach us now, we pray, by your Spirit, that we may both understand and be committed to its truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We are continuing, as you might realize, with our series on the Holy Spirit. And this, today, we have the theme of the Word and the Holy Spirit. And I wonder, have you heard this sort of question be expressed in some way or another? Could the Bible and the Holy Spirit actually provide alternative expressions of guiding truth, with perhaps the Bible giving us the old staid version and the Holy Spirit leading us to new liberty of conduct? If you haven't heard it, I would be surprised, actually, because it seems to be now a relatively common point of view in the Western Church. People say, yes, I know there are certain areas of life, and it's usually an area of relational conduct, shall we say, where we know the Bible does say this, but we believe the Spirit today is leading us to a different understanding. And we should believe that. Because that then leads to another question, which is, can we really rely on the Scripture as God's word for today? And how do we respond to that perspective, which says, well, actually, we have the Spirit, we think God is leading us differently from what the Bible says. So what is the connection between the words of Scripture as originally given and the work of the Holy Spirit in the apostles and the people of their generation and subsequent generations such as ours? So what does the Holy Spirit, what does the Bible have to say about the Holy Spirit and the apostolic teaching? And I'd like us to look at that in three aspects. The first is the Spirit and the Word to the apostles. The second is the Spirit and the Word through the apostles. And the third is the Spirit and the Word in subsequent ages. Now, as this is a topical series, we are going to go to a number of places apart from that passage in John, which I'd like you to join with me in if you'd like to look it up again. But mostly we'll be in that passage in John. And where there are other places, I'll bring it up on the screen. Okay, so if you'd like to join with me in John chapter 15 and then into 16, we'll begin with the Spirit and the Word to the apostles. I want to begin by saying that regarding this particular work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' words were primarily to the apostles. We look at that context in John 15, 26 to 27. Jesus says this, when the Counselor comes, who I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This is said to people who've been there in those 3 years of Jesus' ministry. And then again, at the beginning of the other part of our passage, in chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus goes on to say, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. This is said to the people who've been with Jesus and the people who had something to learn still. They needed to bring to mind the things that Jesus had already said to them. So it's very much to the apostles. But they're people with a problem. They have this same problem right the way through Jesus' ministry, right the way through to that very night, which is, after all, the night before Jesus was crucified. They have a problem. They don't get it. Nothing to them is truly clear about Jesus' mission as it is to Jesus himself. And this is only resolved through the ministration of the risen Lord Jesus after the event and the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit in them. What Jesus is giving them or telling them they're going to have when the Spirit of Truth comes to them is not a natural human capacity. It's not improved intelligence. It's not a degree in theology. It's a promise that the Holy Spirit will get it right in their lives, even when they don't. And frankly, they are very good at getting it wrong. And they do need the Holy Spirit time and time again to get it right. They are not in some special position because they are the disciples. Because they've been with Jesus for 3 years, they still don't get it. Even into the early church, you have a scenario which we read about in Galatians where Peter can't quite get it right and Paul has to challenge him in the power of the Spirit. Say, look, that is not the way God is calling us to work, which is to accept Gentiles. And now you're withdrawing because you're under criticism from other people. What is God's Holy Spirit telling us as the apostles? No, it's not that. They are the ones who received it first and foremost. So what happens then when it goes from them to us? There is, I'm sure you'll appreciate, a difference between that original experience and what I might call a derivative experience, an experience which is derived from their experience. Now, we shouldn't be surprised about that. It happens to us all the time. Ask any of our GCSE students who are doing their science exams at the moment. They don't spend hours and hours recreating Ohm's law of electricity, but they do spend a lot of time, or at least we did, applying it and doing the sums about it. They don't go back to reinvent the first principles. They don't go back as the apostles had to do, which was to take Jesus' words and finally be challenged by them to actually stand on them and say, this is the truth. This is what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. Now, as it applies to us, it's actually mostly a negative statement, really. But it's saying that this is a one-off experience, and we can rejoice in it being a one-off experience of the apostolic circle. The 11 plus Paul and those closest to them, like Mark, Luke, and the writer of Hebrews. But you said, hang on a minute. When we were doing Acts 2, there was this promise of the Holy Spirit to all believers. But it's not exactly the same as the experience of the apostles. There is a work of the Holy Spirit with regard to subsequent generations, as we're going to see. But it's not about creating truth that goes beyond the Spirit's witness to the apostles. Now, what you have to say, of course, is that the 11 and Paul were an incredibly small bottleneck through which the entire reliable Christian teaching would come. Can you imagine what would have happened if that bottleneck had been broken? It all sounds very risky, but actually answers a very serious question. How can we trust what we receive from this group of people who were so central to the propagation of Jesus' message and yet, in his lifetime, were so incapable of getting it right? They really did not get it. What we can say, of course, is we can trust the message because of how the Spirit first brought that message to the apostolic circle. As Jesus said, he will take from me and make it known to them. It isn't a natural phenomenon. It is not simply getting the classes right. It is a work of the Spirit in their lives to enable them to understand and to get it right. The Spirit came to the apostles that they should have that message rock solid. So what about the Spirit and the Word through the apostles? For what we have here is a fulfillment of Jesus' promise that the Holy Spirit will work through the apostles' teaching and writing to bring a trustworthy message to their generation and to subsequent generations. This is the outworking of the end of John 15, verse 27. You also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit would enable the apostles to fulfill this command about testifying, for they alone would be the eyewitnesses. They were the ones who had the eyewitness account. They saw it, said Peter. If you grow into 2 Peter. We were there. We saw it. But they would be more than eyewitnesses. If we go on into chapter 16 and verse 14, he will bring glory to me, the Spirit, that is, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Making the truth known in the sense of what it's all about. Not just as a series of events, but an understanding of what those events are about. And after Jesus' departure, he would continue to reach out to the world using 2 agents to accomplish his purpose. He will send his Holy Spirit and he will send his apostles. They can't run away. They cannot simply hide in the upper room from the world that hates them just as it hated Jesus. They had to go out and testify. But even the Spirit's work through them is not exactly creating really new teaching. He says he will enable them to point to the words of Jesus and his finished work. Again, their teaching goes back to Jesus. And it is the teaching they have empowered by the Holy Spirit that takes them back to Jesus. Paul had the same understanding in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The Spirit bearing witness to the apostles will be accompanied by their bearing witness to their own and future generation in the power of that same Spirit. We see it in their preaching. We see it in the way that God enables them to found new churches. And we see it in the writing of the New Testament from within the apostolic circle. Having been led into all truth, as Jesus said, they are the Spirit's instruments in bringing that all truth to all who followed. But if that is the all truth, the truth that they have declared, that we have there written in God's word, there is a problem of other sources. There is a problem, for instance, of the source called tradition. That passing on supposedly by word of mouth. In fact, God's solution to it is actually no. God preserves the written word containing the apostles' spirit-guided testimony. I don't know if you've ever played the game Chinese Whispers with your children or have them play it in a party. You know, somebody whispers a sentence to the first person who whispers it to the second and so on down the line. And then the last person has to come back and whisper it back what it is. And it's laughable. How different that sentence is from the original. And that is the problem of the spoken word only down the ages. It becomes a kind of Chinese whispers. Things get added in, taken out, given higher priority, given lower priority. But God's written word, we can rely on totally. Because both in its creation and its preservation, we see the work of the Spirit. The promised work of the Spirit from Jesus. And so we are to see the Scriptures as the complete and final revelation of God's plan of salvation through his Son. This is the Spirit and the Word given through the apostles. It is a continuing work of the Spirit to make that work clear, that word clear. And so when we come on to that final thought about the Spirit and the Word in subsequent ages, we can say, well, yes, the apostles testified. The Spirit convicted, he worked in people's hearts, he still does. So what's our role in this? Well, the good thing to say, it's not to create a new message, but it is to get to grips with the whole of God's word, the word that climaxes in the apostolic testimony, the all truth. and then pass it on. We don't create different versions from the apostolic message. We grow in the message that we have in the power of the Spirit. And that is from Genesis to Revelation, as we see the unfolding of God's plan of salvation in Jesus. The Spirit to us comes as a teacher, leading his disciples to understand and apply those truths that come from his consistent witness, which we see in God's word. We aren't innovators. We don't create new words. The apostles had a role which was, in a way, to innovate. They had to have something which was new as Jesus' final message comes unfolded, as the God's climax is revealed in the New Testament. But what we can say about our age is that God still has a glorious and powerful discipling function that will bring glory to Jesus. And that is where, if you like, the secondary value of those verses apply, because they do apply to us. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And we can stand on that promise, not to the new, which the apostles had, but the understanding. And how is that true for us? Well, Jesus says, the Father put everything at his disposal, and the Spirit will share that fullness with Jesus' disciples in every age. But what about, you say, when people have got it wrong for generations? Isn't that a change? You know, slavery? Or what about the doctrines that were challenged by the Reformation? In those cases, you'll find it's not a change of teaching from one past valid teaching to some future valid teaching. It is challenging past error based on what the Scripture says, that people have gone, been blinded for so long and not seen it. And when the Spirit opens their eyes, they see where they have been wrong. God gives to all his people his Holy Spirit, so they will know the truth when they hear it. That is our great responsibility and a great joy. And how does that work? Well, it's a call to pay regular attention to God's word, so the Spirit has something to work with. The Spirit just doesn't work in people's minds, suddenly bringing God's word to bear in their mind from nothing. In a way, the Spirit acts as a kind of searchlight. If the light is off, I call that the mind of the unbeliever, then they cannot see anything. They cannot see the truth at all. If the light is on, but there's nothing there to see, well, there's nothing there for the light to show up. But if the light is on and there is something there, then it is the light that makes what is there clear. And that is the work of the Spirit with us, learning and then growing in what we learn. And if we are regular feeders on God's word, then we can trust the Spirit to help us grow in what we read and the truth we hear, as well as rejecting what is not true. Paul wrote these words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, the Spirit does not create a new word afresh in people in every generation. He makes the words that we have, the Scriptures, clear. He goes through that rebuking, correcting, teaching, training process in each one of us. He makes the Scriptures clear. There is a negative response to that and a positive one. Negatively, if we are not prepared to obey what he sets before us, then the Spirit is not able to work in this positive way. But positively, and I'll try and be positive in each point I get to, we all have a Spirit-led responsibility for one another to challenge and encourage each other in God's revealed truth. When we see people not living in the truth, who are our brothers and sisters, then we have a responsibility under God to bring the truth to bear. So we can trust in God's abiding word as his message for us today, as it was for the apostles. Remember when we went through Acts chapter 2, each Christian has the promise of the Holy Spirit. So we are called to contribute prayerfully to the understanding of what the Scripture says and what is their plain meaning. And that implies that we have a responsibility to be so steeped in the Scriptures that the Spirit has something to work with in leading each one of us into that all truth. Yeah, I know there's been times when one person had to stand against the whole church in his time. And this year we've been looking particularly at Martin Luther. But he did so, don't forget, on the plain meaning of Scripture. It wasn't some fanciful invention. When he stood before the emperor at the Synod of Worms, he said, if you can correct me by showing me wrong according to the Scriptures, I will be the first to burn my books. But of course they couldn't, because he was standing on Scripture, and he was prepared to be corrected by Scripture. Now, what I have said this morning is a lot more than, shall we say, personal guidance. But the Spirit has something to say too about our guidance, which comes out of these themes that we've been looking at this morning. If you are looking for the Spirit's guidance in your life as a Christian, and you're someone as a Christian who has the Holy Spirit, there is something negative we can say and positive. Negatively, we can say from what we've been seeing this morning that the Holy Spirit will not guide someone in ways that are contrary to God's word. So if you think God is guiding you to a course of action that God's word is against, then forget it. Over the years, I've seen terrible tragedies. I say this particularly in young people, but it doesn't always have to be young people. And you always want to shout to them, it doesn't matter how you feel that this is right. If you continue down this path, which is to go against what the Holy Spirit has shown in his word is right, you are in self-delusion. But as I said, we finish on the positive note. If you want to be guided by the Holy Spirit, then find out and obey God's word. Then the Spirit will put you where he wants you to be. You want to be guided? Then obey him in the things that you know the Spirit says through his word. And then he'll sort you out. He'll put you in the right place. And I want to suggest there is no better calling than that, to be where the Spirit wants you to be. So obey in what you know to be true and leave the rest to him. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, help us, we pray, to have that growing confidence in your word, a word given to us through the working of the Spirit in the lives of the apostles and in their words and teaching. And we know, too, given to us through the interpretation of your Spirit, enabling us to see the plain meaning of interpreting one word of Scripture with another, so that we live in all its truth. And we can trust in that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.